Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is your wake-up call, Nashville. Get up, because today is the AFC Championship on a Sunday, January 19th. This is the kickoff. We've had a few pivotal, crucial games in the Titans season so far this year, but none even come close to the magnitude of what will happen today at 2:05 p.m. Central Time. From Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, I'm Calvin Smith, Elijah Campbell to my right, with a huge Titans game to talk about, and we will be talking about it all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We start at 6 a.m., and we won't finish till we have to go off the air when that Titans game starts. And Elijah, let's get it kicked off today. Are you amped to talk about the most important football game of the day today?
The most important football game, not just of the season, obviously, for the Titans, but for the franchise since 2002. I mean, it's the most important game in the
since
last
since I was about 4 years old.
Yeah, you were 4 years old. I was in the second grade the last time the Titans had a chance to play for a Super Bowl berth. And today is that day. I don't know how you cannot be excited. If you're not excited for this game today, you don't love football, and then what's the point of even watching?
If your alarm wasn't set to go off at 6 a.m. as soon as our coverage started here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What's the
because
point?
Because if you're a football fan and not absolutely jazzed up and you couldn't sleep because of this football game, I need to come check your pulse. Like, I'm going to send a doctor to your house. I didn't fall asleep until 2 in the morning last night, and I woke up on my own at 5 a.m. dreaming
alarmless
about how I was going to host this show.
That's
how
level
big of a deal this is, guys.
That's next level stuff. I didn't get much. I think I maybe got like 3.5-4 hours. It wasn't much, but I wasn't waking up in a cold sweat.
Hey,
figured out how to. This is the big time, baby.
This is the big time, and we are that good here at ESPN 102.5
The Game. Super Bowl berth on the line, dude. A Super Bowl berth.
60 minutes.
Don't know if you've heard of the Super Bowl. Captain Kirk, I don't know if you've heard of the Super Bowl behind the glass. I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
The Super Bowl, so how many people watch the Super Bowl every year?
Like at least 20.
50 million?
At least, yeah. Okay, so I'm right, yeah.
The NFL's the grandest stage in American sports is what the Titans are so close to, and what stands in their way today is the Kansas City Chiefs. But what I feel like we have to start off with is an appreciation for how we got to this point in the season, because this Titans team, I mean, it was not anywhere near a slam dunk that this team would even get to the wild card round of the playoffs into the season. And then especially throughout the first six games of the year. I mean, it's well documented the struggles this franchise endured before they made the switch to Ryan Tannehill. But then Ryan Tannehill comes in, and they really started off with a bang, right? You look at that Week 7 game against the Chargers. A tough, grinded-out game. It comes down to the one-yard line.
And a miracle happens. Something improbable happens. I know Melvin Gordon has a history of coughing up the ball, but how often do running backs cough it up at the one-yard line like that?
After a couple attempts prior, getting stuffed at the line when all you have is a yard to gain. And if only in the moment you could know how indicative that would be of what's to come for this team.
Mm-hmm. Because how big that moment is.
How big that moment is, and how those kind of plays seem to be woven into the identity of the Titans team this season. And then you fast forward from there to week 10 against the Chiefs. Well, mm-hmm. I guess the week before that is when they lost to the Panthers.
That was a wake-up call. I mean, that was...
They got housed.
A come-to-Jesus moment.
By a very bad Panthers team.
A horrendous Panthers team.
Derrick Henry got two carries in the first half. That's what everybody was talking about the next week.
Yeah. I mean, it has to. They had to. The guy's been, your best offensive weapon all season long. And they kind of went away from their game plan a little bit. And that
it was an interesting game.
It's a learn-yourself game.
The penalties were so prevalent in the Panthers game as well that...
Some stupid ones.
It kind of altered the game script a little bit, but in a very drastic way, to the point where Deion Lewis was on the field just as much as Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry wasn't getting many carries.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Titans ultimately lose that game pretty handily to a bad, very bad, top 10 pick level bad.
Yeah, get your coach Carolina fired Panthers bad. Team. Yeah, Carolina Panthers team. Get a coach like Ron Rivera fired Panthers team.
And then everything changes for the Titans. They haven't lost since that week. Week 10 against the Kansas City Chiefs, the team they play today in the AFC Championship. And what a wild and wacky game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes throws 50 passes, 446 yards.
Does his thing. He does what Patrick Mahomes does.
And the Titans still win.
Crazy.
Derrick Henry, like 23 carries, 186 yards. Just runs up and down the field on a bad Kansas City Chiefs mm-hmm. rush defense, which is still bad, and we will be able to get to that today. And then on the final drive, Ryan Tannehill, after barely throwing any passes all day, gets down the field, throws the game-winning touchdown pass to Adam Humphries. Patrick Mahomes gets the ball back, tosses a bomb to Tyreek Hill. They're in field goal range. It looks like they're going to tie it up. And then Josh Kalu, number 46. I would say an unlikely hero, makes a fantastic play.
Of unlikely hero. Mm-hmm.
On Harrison Butker's kick. Blocks the kick. Titans win the game.
Perfectly times that snap. I don't know if you can time it any more perfectly than they did.
I mean, in-game attentiveness, because he'd gotten a read on their snap count, I guess, while mm-hmm. watching film, and then translating that into the game, and he had a good idea of when they were going to snap the football. And it's a fantastic
great
display.
Application. Great film application.
And then down the stretch, this Titans team beat everybody they were supposed to when they needed to.
Which is something this franchise hasn't done the last couple of years. They get opportunities to win games against bad teams, and they just falter in those.
I think the only game they should have won that they didn't was against the Texans.
Yeah.
Before they played the Saints, which would have been in week 15.
No one expected them to win the Saints game, I guess, without Derrick Henry.
No Derrick Henry. The Saints, one of the best teams in the NFL. I don't care if the Saints lost to the Vikings.
I don't either.
The Saints were one of the best teams, probably one of the top three teams in the NFL this season. Mm-hmm. I don't think you expected the Titans to win that game, especially once you knew they didn't have much to play for and everything would ride on week 17. Down the stretch, this Titans team was everything you wanted, and you could see them beginning to play some of their best football. Everything starting to come to fruition how they would want it to, especially on the offensive line, which leads us right into the postseason against the New England Patriots.
The style of play they've tried to establish all season long finally got to be applied in a a survive and advance situation, which
do or die.
A ground and pound rushing attack when it's this lethal is perfect for these type of situations, because when the season comes down to one game and you're able to keep the ball away from Tom Brady or have your defense be able to take advantage of a weaker Patriots offense.
Which is exactly what they did. And if this ground game was any less lethal, any less historic,
they don't win.
They're not on this run. That should tell you how well they're running the football right now. That if it is 10 yards worse, they are not winning.
If it's one first down less.
One first down. One conversion.
Mm-hmm.
If it's... Honestly, too, with Ryan Tannehill, if he's third and eight away from Tom Brady probably getting the ball back.
On like maybe what, his own 30 with 2.5 minutes and two timeouts?
I don't care which Tom Brady you're facing. You don't want that scenario because typically that doesn't bode well for opposing teams.
No, out of the 20 years he's been in the league, that's kind of been his thing, is being able to pull fast ones like that and to be able to win in one drive when he needs to.
Then we get to a game that Elijah, you and I thought...
This is the improbable one.
Okay,
this was the one
that
I did not foresee happening at all.
We both stood on these airwaves for a couple hours, 3 hours.
We were 3 hours that day,
hours on that Saturday morning. And we said, hey, or I guess it was an afternoon, morning to afternoon.
It's all the same to me.
And we said, hey, this guy, hey, if you're listening here, like, if you're a Titans fan, enjoy this. Like, this has been fun. They're a good football team. We don't want to take anything away from them. But they're playing the best team in football.
A buzzsaw.
The NFL's MVP. When you talk about running the football well, the Ravens ran the football better than anybody else in the NFL.
With like three dudes. With like three dudes that are running the ball better than almost
their offensive
in the NFL
line
at that point.
Mauled everybody. They had an MVP quarterback. Marquise Brown could hit big plays. Their tight ends had dominated everybody they'd played. And their defense, after they acquired Marcus Peters, had been one of the better pass and run defenses in the NFL. And then,
didn't matter.
On the Ravens' first drive of the game, Kevin Byard gets the interception. And there you go. From there, honestly, the Titans took the game and ran.
Yeah. Oh, they executed the game plan. They were able to
nigh on perfection.
Yeah. And they almost played the perfect game. Didn't turn the ball over. They forced turnovers from the Ravens' offense. If you count the two fourth down stops on fourth down and one and fourth down and inches, that's five turnovers for the Ravens' offense, an offense that doesn't usually commit more than two.
A team who was 8-for-8 on fourth and ones this season, and then the Titans stop them twice.
Consecutively. They were 0-for-2 on fourth and one or less in that game.
Rewind it back to week 7. Against the Chargers, the goal line stand.
The Melvin Gordon goal line stand.
And I forgot to talk about the three downs in the Patriots game on the goal line. They run Sony Michel. They don't get it.
Yeah. They ran everybody.
The Titans team standing on 1 yard to go, crucial situations. They did it again against the Ravens. Now, Elijah, my question becomes, what can you translate from last week to this week if you're the Titans?
Do you believe in magic and miracles? I mean, this is an improbable run. This would be one of the greatest runs in the history of football.
Paging Al Michaels.
Yeah, paging Al Michaels. Ask us if we all believe in miracles. Like, it's Lake Placid in 1980. But this team, like, think about it. If they win today, they go not through just the top three seeds in the AFC, all on the road in consecutive weeks, they run through Tom Brady, the MVP, Lamar Jackson, and the best quarterback in the league right now, Patrick Mahomes, in consecutive weeks.
Mahomes, a magician in his own right.
Yeah. Oh, he might go down, like, obviously we have media and talking heads kind of around the NFL have anointed Patrick Mahomes as the second coming of Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees. Like, he is this generation's version of those guys, maybe even better because he's got arm strength and arm talent that we've not seen probably for anybody. It's unprecedented arm talent to me.
And yes.
So just to be in the head of his first career, not season, because he did play that 1 year. He played one game as a rookie.
Yes.
But I would consider that his first real season. Putting up the numbers he did, like your first season as a starter, you're not supposed to throw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 plus yards. You're just not. That just doesn't happen.
And then to follow it up this year with a pretty good season of over 4,000 yards, despite missing two games.
Technically, 2.5, because the Broncos game, he didn't even make it to halftime.
You're right.
Because his knee was on the wrong side of his leg. His kneecap was on the wrong side of his leg. So, I mean, really, if you put that into perspective, Patrick Mahomes has regressed just slightly. It's not like a huge regression.
It's regression to the mean in statistics can be thought of like gravity. Like, you can jump on a trampoline, but eventually you're going to step off the ladder and get back down on the ground because you can't jump on a trampoline all day. But you can still jump pretty high if you've got some bunnies in your legs. Patrick Mahomes just has the bunnies.
He has the bunnies. He's just that good. And he is the transcendent quarterback talent of this, I guess, generation of NFL quarterbacks. So I would say this would be the most impressive in terms of stopping the three quarterbacks I mentioned. This is the toughest test in terms of passing quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson throws an element you don't see of any other quarterback in the NFL because of the way that Ravens offense is designed and the season that he's had this year specifically. This challenge is different. This one is the best air raid offense in football right now. This is the offense that the Rams have wanted to try, that they paid Jared Goff all that money. They paid Jared Goff the money to be the Patrick Mahomes-esque player that he's just not. But this is that air raid offense that the NFL has kind of, like, evolved towards, but this is the one that does it to perfection, because not only do they have Patrick Mahomes, who we've drooled about in this first segment, but they have a receiving core that is faster than some national Olympic track teams.
Really? No. I mean, they Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, that is class speed, world class speed.
I bet if you did a relay race with all 32 NFL teams receiving cores, the Chiefs win by a mile.
Oh, it's not even a question.
I mean, even like, who would you say the slowest guy on that receiving core is? DeMarcus Robinson?
And he is fast.
And he's fast. he would probably be even the fastest guy on those Titans team.
Yes, like, he would be. Well, I might put Khalif Raymond up there, because
Khalif and Adoree Jackson.
Khalif ran like a 4.32 at his pro day.
He got some wheels.
And that's why he's burned so many defenses. 9 catches, like 175 yards on Khalif Raymond's season. But before we get to break, I'm going to give you one more note on the Titans' journey to this point to the AFC Championship game on the season. If you look at ESPN's FPI, Football Power Index, before every game, they give you a matchup predictor on the probability that a team wins a game. Against the Patriots, they gave the Titans about a 30% chance to win. Against the Ravens, they gave them about a 20% chance to win. So you do a little simple math, and you know that per ESPN's FPI, they thought, the Titans only have about a 6.5% chance of winning both of those games. Then this week against the Chiefs, FPI gave them a 25% chance to win. So keep this in your back pocket. If you're going to a party tonight, if you're going to a bar or something like that to watch this game and the Titans pull this one out this afternoon.
Good stat to whip out.
That will mean that the Titans, per ESPN's FPI, will have defied the 98.5% odds against them to win all three of those games. It's simple math. You multiply 0.3 by 0.2 by 0.25. You get 1.5%, and that is the Titans' odds of winning all three of those games. And I will leave you on that, because coming up next, you talked about the Chiefs' offense. We'll get into the Titans' defensive and offensive keys to winning today. What they have to do, we'll tell you right here. 102.5 The Game. Good morning, Nashville. We are rocking and rolling here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is the kickoff. We're streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. If you're driving around town, maybe going out a little bit further out from the city, don't worry, you can get your Titans coverage all day long on these airwaves. After us, 8 to 10, it's a special edition of Chase and TD. Chase McCabe, Darren Donovan, Chase, Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation reporter. They are live in Kansas City, on the scene, in the field, reporting for this radio station. Then we have Jared and the GM and our official NFL pregame show after that. We still have a lot to talk about here today, though. Elijah Campbell to my right.
Tons.
We're rocking with you until 8 a.m. We're getting it started early, and we teased it before the break. We're going to give you the keys to victory for today, and there's not even going to be a doubt in our minds about what it is.
The key! Now, how are we going to get it?
I know. Walk in and ask him for it.
Well, SpongeBob and Patrick, I'm sorry. It's not that easy. We can't just walk up to Kansas City and ask Mike Vrabel.
That's what I was going to suggest.
We were actually going to have him as a guest for the show. No. But, Elijah, when I say Titans offense, keys to this game, where do you go?
I'm going to go with, because I think there's one given in this game. That is Derrick Henry is going to run amok on this Chiefs defense. His Chiefs rushing defense, as we've alluded to in the last segment, is atrocious. One of the worst rush defenses in football. And I don't care that I think it was, in the last 7 weeks that they've only allowed less than 100 yards per game on the ground. Well, it's because teams are playing from behind, so you have to throw the ball a little bit. And that's where I lead myself to here, is if the Titans do fall behind early, which is a real possibility, if I'm the Chiefs and I win the coin toss, I'm taking the ball and I'm scoring. And I am forcing the Titans to throw the ball more than 14 times in this game. I'm not letting them get the chance to just give the ball to Derrick Henry 40 times and then him run all over me.
The key! Now how are we going to get it?
I know. Walk in and ask him for it.
I see what you're saying there. But my only problem with that key is that, yes, like you want to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, right?
Right. Or just not have to play from behind. because then you're going to have to stray away from what you do best.
But here's the thing. No matter how long you hold the ball for,
oh yeah,
the other team still gets the ball next.
Oh yeah,
and the thing about Kansas
possession
City
doesn't matter.
And the thing about that is they can score pretty quickly. But that leads me to my key is that I think we expect Patrick Mahomes to put up some points to be able to do Patrick Mahomesian like things. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I think the Titans will still run the ball a lot. I mean, you look at 23, 24, 25, 26 carries for Derrick Henry again, and you're not surprised by that number at all. But Ryan Tannehill, at some point, he has to throw more than 15 passes in the playoffs.
That's kind of where I was getting to, like, because you're going to have to. I mean, you're not going to be able to sit on a lead in this game just because this team scores faster than a team like the Ravens do.
So, Ryan Tannehill, efficient in the Titans passing game, I think that is key number one because we know what we're going to get from Derrick Henry. We know that Arthur Smith is going to run the football. So Ryan Tannehill has to go out and go back to what he was doing earlier in the season, exceeding expectations and being an efficient passer again and hitting on the downfield throws that stretch a defense.
The key. Now how are we going to get it?
I know. Walk in and ask him for it.
Now we go to the defense. We can't ask Dean Pease what his key to the game is. He wouldn't want to tell us what his secret sauce to stopping Patrick Mahomes is, if anybody in the NFL truly has that. But if you're Dean Pease, what's your first thought when you think about stopping Patrick Mahomes and this dynamic Chiefs offense?
Oh, that is one of the tallest tasks of anyone in the league. No one's got a harder job this week than Dean Pease because this is an offense, as we just remembered, 1 week ago, scored 51 points in three quarters. This team, I guess hope they drop balls because the only time that the Chiefs were stopped against the Texans is when balls were bouncing off Travis Kelce and DeMarcus Robinson's hands on third down and forcing them to punt. Defensively, I think what you want to do, and this is, I don't think a lot of people have kind of gotten onto this too, is don't let Patrick Mahomes have all day to throw. Pressure and make them throw quick because they're going to throw the ball 35, 40, maybe 50 times in this game, whether they're behind or ahead, because that's what the Chiefs do. But make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable. Make him have to stay in the pocket because we know some of the best plays the Chiefs have had all year. And sometimes when Patrick Mahomes is at his best is when the play breaks down and he has to improvise.
Oh, absolutely.
And the more time he has to improvise, the more time that Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson and even Travis Kelce have time to get open. All those dudes with all those speed and with Travis Kelce, that size and speed to get open, you cannot let plays and pocket time for Patrick Mahomes exceed 3 or 4 seconds because he's going to find somebody and he's going to find them wide open.
The key. Now how are we going to get it?
I know. Walk in and ask him for it.
Now my second defensive key plays off of yours, right? Because I think one of the debates going on in football right now is pass rush versus coverage, which one is more important. And the thing about these Chiefs wide receivers that I think about is how quickly they can get open with their speed. I mean, they can look at you off the line and be gone in half a second. Therefore, I think the Titans are going to need an outstanding day in coverage from their defensive backs. A day that exceeds expectations to the nth degree. That's just what it takes, one in the playoffs and two against a receiving core like this. The matchup problem, I think, comes most in the secondary as well, because Elijah, you and I hit on this on Friday night, actually. Outside of Adoree Jackson, speed in the Titans secondary, specifically their cornerbacks, is not the strength of this football team. Adoree Jackson can run. He ran like a 4.42 at the NFL Combine. But then you go down the list of Titans defensive backs, like, you know, once you get into the more depth pieces of maybe Ty Smith will be guarding DeMarcus Robinson one on a snap or two, you know, these matchups where Ty Smith, LaShawn Sims, not the guys who are burners on the back end, they will have to hold their own in coverage day and have a stupendous day because these Chiefs receivers are that fast, can be open so quickly. And then I go to Kevin Byard, who will have a lot of opportunities on Travis Kelce one-on-one. This game is why you pay Kevin Byard 5 years, $72 million. This game is why he's an all-pro because he has to go pull off an incredibly tall task in stopping the NFL's top tight end. Is he going to stop him? Probably not. Can he limit him? Yes.
The key. Now how are we going to get it?
I know. Walk in and ask him for it.
And those are our keys to victory for the Tennessee Titans. Elijah, quickly recap your offense and defense key.
Offensive keys, be able to score the ball quick. You know the Chiefs can do it, and if you're behind 7, 14, nothing, you got to be able to do it in more and less a methodical fashion than what you've been accustomed to this playoff so far. Defensively, don't let Patrick Mahomes be comfortable. Get in his face. Don't give him more than 3 or 4 seconds to throw, because that's when he's at his best. He is Mahomesian when he's able to make throws on the run and his quick receivers have time to get open.
Ryan Tannehill, my key for you. You have to be the efficient passer you've been all season, and maybe a little bit more so, and you may have to do it earlier on than the final drive of the game today. And on defense, you need an outstanding day in coverage. And so I got to go back to my Ryan Tannehill point. When I say that, I don't mean like volume 30 passes keeping up with Mahomes, because if the Titans are in that kind of game, the odds are very strong they lose. But when it comes
ugly
down
too
to Ryan Tannehill, I think it's more than just converting third and eights at times for him. I think it comes on first and second down where you need the shots from him. When did they hit that Khalif Raymond 45-yard play-action bomb? On first down, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly off the top of my head.
When they first got the ball back, yeah.
Yes.
Went to the throat.
When we talk about keys, Ryan Tannehill on early downs, getting the Titans ahead of the chains, making life easier on Derrick Henry, because they do it in turn for each other and have this season. Now, coming up after the break, the Titans' path to victory. We just gave you the keys, but how do we weave those into an actual game script of a game flowing out for the Tennessee Titans to advance to the Super Bowl? We'll talk about that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you aren't awake yet, then you got to check your pulse, because we got the AFC Championship game today. This is the kickoff here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are kicking off your NFL Sunday, your Tennessee Titans Sunday, your AFC Championship Sunday. We started at 6 a.m. and we here at ESPN 102.5 The Game got you covered all day long. Coverage from Kansas City after we leave the air at 8 a.m. Then we're live from Kansas City till the game starts. We're dedicated to covering this for you because we know this is the hot topic in the city. Duh.
The hottest topic in how many years? I mean, outside the Preds' miraculous Stanley Cup run, I mean, this is the biggest event.
And it's kind of fun, the parallels between the two. Not to get on a Preds tangent really quickly, but that team, last seed getting in, they go on a miraculous run where you felt like just everything broke their way every single time.
Yep.
Sounds pretty similar to the Tennessee Titans of this season, if you ask me.
You get hot at the right time. I mean, and the last seed of the playoffs, like this Titans team, when we were talking about the season earlier, it was cracking me up kind of thinking back a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Titans jostling for a playoff spot with the Devlin Hodges-led Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
That was a real
team
topic.
It was not good this year.
Horrendous. That was an awful Steelers
especially down
team.
The stretch. We knew the Titans were better than them.
We were talking about playoff scenarios. Like, oh, if the Steelers somehow lose to the Jets, and then this happens. Well, that all happens because the Steelers stink, and the Titans won the games that they needed to. And we were just talking about, like, you know, it's a good accomplishment for the Titans teams to even be in the playoffs. We were talking about the better matchup, Patriots or Chiefs, Week 17, just in case the Patriots lose to the Dolphins, which you didn't think was possible.
Wow.
There's been a lot of improbable in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and that just is why sports – what makes sports so great is because you can have scenarios like that where 1 week we can be talking about this team squeaking into the playoffs after competing with the Raiders and Steelers for that final playoff spot.
Two not good teams.
And then talk about them being in the AFC Championship game a mere 4 or 5 weeks later.
And after them beating two very good teams.
Tom Brady and MVP Lamar Jackson.
Now let's throw ourselves in some scenarios for this week against the Kansas City Chiefs and how the Titans ought to react when things are going their way and things are going adversely to their game plan, not what they want to happen. Let's start off on the negative side. Let's say Patrick Mahomes comes out and he's just getting the job done. I mean, they get the ball, you know, whatever. They get up like 17-21-7 or something like that. Like, they're just throwing the ball around the yard. Not even to say the Titans offense has been bad. Derrick Henry's running the ball fine, but it's hard to keep pace with Patrick Mahomes running the football. That's just a fact of the NFL.
Because you have long drawn-out drives. Unless you're just hitting on 70-yard touchdown runs and hitting on home runs each possession, which, I mean...
Which Derrick Henry's proven he can do.
He's proven he could do, and given this Chiefs rush defense, as atrocious as it is and as abysmal as it can be at times, is it out of the realm of possibility and actually kind of leans into the realm of likelihood at times, but it's not something I would want to bank on if I'm down 14-0 early.
So how much should Arthur Smith flip the script if Patrick Mahomes is just coming out and doing his thing and it looks like there's no stopping him? Because me, I mean, obviously, like, I'm the pass game guy, but that's not where the identity of this Titans team lies, in the arm of Ryan Tannehill. Granted, of course, there has to be a shift. Like, if Mahomes is doing his thing to an extent, you've got to look to Tannehill and say, it's your time now. Because that guy on the other end, I'm not going to say it, is great. I was going to get very hyperbolic on you at 6:37 in the morning.
What, sports radio, that
with
a little bit
Patrick
hyperbolic.
Mahomes. But you know what? I'm not going to do it because it's only his second season as a starter in the NFL. So the guy on the other side of the sideline is great. He is tough to stop. Not to say that, you know, you don't believe in your defense, Titans fans, but that guy is good. Ryan Tannehill, the efficiency of the pass game, it's time for that to step up to an extent, and I think that means Tannehill throwing 25, 26 passes in the game total, if that's how it looks early for the Tennessee Titans.
It's funny that you say, like, we're talking about Ryan Tannehill maybe having to throw the ball 25 times when, like, every other NFL offense in the league is throwing that
minimum
on a basis. That's the minimum, yeah. And we're talking about it like it's like this crazy tall task, but it's true. It's 100% true. It is out of the game plan and out of the Titans' comfort zone to throw the ball 25 times. And I want to go a similar route you did, but I want to go a little different. I want to put the onus and the responsibility on Arthur Smith to get creative with the play calling. You saw against the
Which
Saints.
Which he's done this year. We want to commend him for that first. He has done that.
And their game plan against the Saints, without Derrick Henry, they got creative with the play calling. You got the ball in A.J. Brown's hands on an end-around when he had a hard time breaking Marshon Lattimore. You give him the ball on an end-around. He breaks off a 41-yard touchdown run. You're able to, against the Texans, you hand the ball to Jonnu Smith. You put a package where Jonnu Smith is lined up as the running back, and the Texans and don't know how to play that.
And he's done very well doing that.
Because he's got some wheels, too, and he breaks off a 57-yard run. You got to be able to get creative in terms of how you get the ball into the hands of your other weapons. And if there's anything this Chiefs defense does well, it's at least play the secondary.
They're about league average in that respect.
Exactly, which is what they weren't last year. They were atrocious run defense. They were atrocious pass defense. You could do whatever you wanted on that Chiefs defense last year. It's going to be a little trickier. And Tyrann Mathieu, one of the best safeties in the league. I wouldn't say he's better than Kevin Byard, but... I mean, especially in the slot. I mean, if you're trying to use your slot receivers and Tyrann Mathieu is playing man, then I think he's got the lowest passer rating, opposing quarterback passer rating when he's guarding someone in the slot in the entire NFL.
Well, Adam Humphries might be back today. I was about to say this Sunday. Nope, that's today.
That is today.
Adam Humphries may be back. The ankle injury still there for him. I mean, you don't just come back to practice in 1 week and you're like, oh, perfectly fine. My ankle's totally good.
Yeah, feel nothing. Yeah.
But then I think this answer's pretty obvious. If everything's going to script, like you're playing in a game with the Chiefs where your defense is able to slow them down enough to the point where you're going into half, the game is like 20-17, 21-21, something like that. Do you get nervous at all about Patrick Mahomes and think, okay, maybe we start throwing the ball a little bit more to see if we can get that distance from them right now? Or do you keep turning around and handing the football off every time and banking on your defense, who you've banked on a lot this season? And that might be the money question. If things are going the Titans' way, how nervous do you get about Patrick Mahomes pulling off a crazy comeback like 51 points in three quarters?
If the Chiefs are going into halftime and it's 20, and they score 21 points, I'm terrified. I would say I'm terrified because they're not – I mean, they're on pace for 42. Do you trust this Titans offense to score 42 points to win that game? That's when I double down on Derrick Henry at that point, and then maybe let your maybe prolong drives and let your defense rest as much as they can, not just to get the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, but these dudes are going to be tired. especially if the Chiefs are scoring 21 points and they're chasing Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill, and I can name the entire Chiefs receiving core right now, but I don't want to save my breath because we know what they got. Because
guess what? All five of them are fast and good.
Yeah, they all possess Olympic speed, and if you're Travis Kelce, Olympic wrestler size. Like this, these guys are freaks. And if they're scoring 21 points in the first half, and the Chiefs have already gained all these yards on offense, it's going to be tiresome for this Titans team, especially the defense.
Their offense, worn out. Everyone talks about how the run game can wear down a defense.
Pass game just as much.
Well, if you're running around the secondary just chasing these guys all day, Kevin Byard said as much this week in his press conference where he was like, man, I remember after that game, I was tired because you just run up and down the field with them. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 50 times, nobody's going to be surprised if they do that again.
If you're the Chiefs, why wouldn't you? I mean, you're going to hand the ball to Damian Williams?
That's exactly what you're built to do. That's exactly what you're built to do. Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, they're making their money doing this.
Yeah, and it's like the Titans with Derrick Henry. It's like if you're able to control possession and you're able to make the game a rock fight, why wouldn't you hand the ball to Derrick Henry 40
times? That's how the Titans want to win.
If you're able, I don't want to say to establish the run, but if you're able to establish the tempo, I think the tempo of the offense is more important than run or pass, because the Chiefs' tempo is obviously a lot different than what the Titans do.
Yeah.
The Titans like to score on methodic drives and then catch you sleeping on a drive when you're preparing, you're loading up the box and throwing a deep pass to Khalif Raymond like they did in the Ravens game.
Yep.
But that's not what they do every possession. That is not what the offense is built for. It's built for methodical drives. They can score quick when they need to at times, but if you're able to establish your style of play and your methodical drive offense, then you're in the game.
Coming up next, these two teams played in Week 10. That was a wild and wacky game, but Elijah, can we take anything from that game? We'll get to that on the other side, as well as how does the weather affect this week? Because, man, if you think it's cold in Nashville, if you've stepped outside, which I'm assuming you have if you're listening to this, you know it's a little chilly out there. Well, it's even colder out there 8 hours to the west in Kansas City. We'll get to what we can take away from Week 10 and the weather coming up next here on The Kickoff on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is The Kickoff here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith alongside Elijah Campbell, Captain Kurt on the board, Shelby Drive look alive. I think Tate Keith was on this track.
Oh, he made it. He didn't. He's not just on it. He made it with his bare hands.
Drake, Blockboy JB, MTSU alum Tate Keith with the beat coming in.
Just a fellow MTSU alum like us.
I mean, what can you say?
We're
the guys.
Here.
I mean, come
We're
on.
True blue
for
around
the boys.
Here. This is free advertising from Middle Tennessee State University. You're welcome. Where's
repping
my plaque in the hallway of the journalism building? I want it now.
Repping the 615. Now, Titans Chiefs, big game this week. These teams played earlier in the season. And what you could say was a pretty wild game. I mean, you talk about a Rashawn Evans fumble return for a touchdown, a blocked kick, a game-winning drive, the Titans being down with a minute and a half to go in the game, winning, and the Chiefs still getting the ball back down the field, kicking the field goal. That's when Josh Kalu blocks the kick. Everything went bananas in that game. So what can you take away from something that was improbable, unpredictable, and completely weird?
A lot, and special teams. I mean, if you look, like, you're a big EPA guy.
Expected points added.
Yes, not the Environmental Protection
Agency. Advanced stat.
Very advanced. Big numbers. Those big numbers, the EPA for the Chiefs was greater than the Titans, offensively.
Yes. Mahomes went off that game. And Derrick Henry actually had a higher EPA than Ryan Tannehill. So not to get too numbery on you, but that's rare when you're evaluating with more advanced metrics that the run game is more efficient than the pass game. Spoiler, Derrick Henry was significantly more efficient than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and it wasn't even close. And that just does not happen often. It is incredibly rare. But where the Titans had the advantage in EPA was special teams EPA. And it was a flop of almost like 24 points. That's a lot. That is a ridiculous amount. And that happens by Dustin Colquitt botching a hold.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And then picking it up and just chucking it out of bounds.
I forgot about that when I was mentioning things that happened.
Harrison Butker, who doesn't miss field goals, missed a field goal. Harrison Butker is one of the better kickers in the league, shanking a field goal. The block kick because Josh Kalu, which, of course, his preparation put him in the position.
He made that play.
Yeah, he made his
Hats
own luck.
Hats off to him.
Yeah, he made his own luck. But I don't think that – I think the Chiefs might have learned from that because you know what they did? The Titans after the game told them. They said, yeah, we were able to figure out their snap count. So if you're the Chiefs special teams coordinator, man, we might need a new snap count. If it's able to be figured out that easily, we might have to change it. I mean, there's a lot that went the Titans' way, and a lot of it on the special team side of the ball too. And that's my biggest takeaway. That's how you're able to get outgained like they did. I think it's almost a 200-yard difference in total yards. And how to lose the EPA battle but still win is that's how important special teams can be. Special teams can be the difference between winning and losing, even if your team is playing worse than the other team. Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech made a living, living off of a brand of football where he's blocking kicks, blocking punts, and being advantageous when it comes to the kicking game and special teams. And I think that was the biggest difference in this game. I don't think from a 1-53 roster spot the Titans are better than the Chiefs, but they were better that day because of special teams.
I think it also kind of gets lost on that game that Tyreek Hill absolutely snapped. One, the guy got targeted 19 times, then 11 catches for 157 yards.
Got targeted more than Ryan Tannehill's thrown the ball in
some
games.
So I'm curious how the Titans... Yeah, that's very funny. He got targeted more than Ryan Tannehill's thrown the ball in a single playoff game this year. But I'm curious how the Titans are going to switch up what they might want to do, because there are going to be times when Kevin Byard is one-on-one, man-for-man with Travis Kelce. That means who's playing center field for you? Kenny Vaccaro? I mean, he's had a good year, but that's not his natural position. That's not what he truly does in the NFL.
Isn't his thing. It's never been his MO at all. He's a sure-handed tackler. But
I mean, the guy loves to hit, and he's very good at it.
No, he'll make you feel him.
So then I wonder how they're going to change guarding Tyreek Hill after his huge day, or if they're just going to chalk it up and say Tyreek's going to get his. They held Travis Kelce, quote, held Travis Kelce to 7 for 75. DeMarcus Robinson came in with a sneaky 4 catches for 56 yards, which is a good day for, what, the fourth receiver on that team, the third receiver?
Yeah, the afterthought. He's the definitely afterthought for sure on that receiving core, which unfortunately for him, he wouldn't be an afterthought hardly anywhere else.
So then that brings me to this week and the weather. You know, it's cold here in Nashville. It's like 31 degrees right now. But subtract about 15 degrees from that, and then you get what it is in Kansas City. It's like 14, 15, 16 degrees out there right now. It's very cold. Now, what a lot of people talk about is how that affects the passing game. But I found it interesting that Ryan Tannehill, of course, you don't expect him to say anything that like it's going to affect his game. But he gave a pretty candid response when he was like, you know, I don't really think that the cold itself is what bothers you in a game. It's more the wind when it's chilly and cold. That's what's going to get you is when it's windy. But the cold itself really doesn't affect the passing game too much. Now, he admitted somebody might disagree with him, but I found that interesting, and I wonder how it being 20 degrees, maybe 22 degrees at kickoff, will affect the passing game and how the Chiefs make their bread and butter.
For the Chiefs, I don't think it does, just because these guys play in that all the time. They played in it last year. They played in snow when they played against Indianapolis in the divisional round, and they tore that Colts defense up, a very good Colts defense. They were able to move the ball at will when they wanted to. This Chiefs offense is a force. Rain, shine, sleet, snow, dome, no dome, backyard, it don't matter. They're going to do their thing. And they prepare for weather like this because when you're in Kansas City, it's almost to be expected. And those guys are players. They're tough players, and especially when they're receivers. The receivers almost complement Patrick Mahomes as much as Patrick Mahomes' passing complements them. If it's windy, I agree with Ryan Tannehill. I actually think the wind would have a greater effect. And I think in terms of really cold weather games, the only thing that I would feel like, and I've obviously never played NFL football. I've never been hit by an NFL linebacker. I have never thrown a pass to an NFL receiver.
Neither have I.
Neither has 99.999% of the population. But if there was one thing that I would guess is the hardest part about playing in these type of elements these guys are going to be playing in today is getting hit by somebody when it's that cold. is getting hit by an NFL linebacker, is getting hit by Wesley Woodyard.
Maybe getting hit by Derrick Henry.
Or getting hit by Derrick Henry. The physicality has got to be, the banging of helmets and all, has got to get a lot worse in the cold weather. I don't think it has an effect on the passing game as much.
Where I think, when I think about the pass game in the cold, and if it does make it harder to throw the ball, like let's live in a world where it does make it more difficult to throw the ball. Like, that's just a fact. Then I think that makes the passing game even more important, because whoever can do that better, which is more efficient, which passing is more efficient by nature, gets a bigger margin, a wider margin to play with in the game, because you're doing something that's harder to do that can give you a more efficient style of playing, which there is advantage Chiefs. And that would worry me a little bit if I'm a Titans fan, is that if I can't throw the ball, and I'm a Titans fan rooting for Ryan Tannehill, and Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball, not even to a Patrick Mahomes level, but to a point where he's throwing the ball better than the Titans and is still able to move the ball, then that's a little worrisome if they can get an even wider margin edge in that respect when it's more difficult to do that in frigid temps.
Oh, yeah. And especially, like, heaven forbid Derrick Henry have an off game, or his body finally break down a little bit because
he's carried the ball. Or the offensive line stops blocking out of their freaking minds. It's hard for me to not say a cuss word when I talk about this offensive line, because they just get Henry to the second level. They're opening up gaps, and Henry's so hard to tackle when he's got a sliver of an inch at this point in his career.
Yeah.
The way they're blocking right now is unreal.
Is there another offensive line in the league that could do this? I mean, how hard is it to block for a guy that big?
The Cowboys a couple years ago.
Yeah. I mean, and that was Ezekiel Elliott's best year, and he's never been able to recreate the numbers he did his rookie season.
They paid him a lot of money, and they didn't. And
they probably should have allocated some of those funds to those big boys on the line.
They have a quarterback they should be paying right now, but that's neither
receiver.
That's neither here nor there. The Cowboys are neither here nor there. We will keep it rolling on the Titans and Chiefs all morning long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've got you covered with all-day coverage. So if you're working an early morning shift at the golf course or something like that, we have you covered here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, to start the 7 o'clock hour, our final hour of the kickoff, we've talked about how talented they are. The Chiefs' wide receivers. How do the Titans cover them? Who do you look to in the secondary that has to have the biggest game? Plus, Tyreek Hill had some poster board material that we'll get to. We'll let you hear that. We'll get to that coming up next here on The Kickoff on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's get up and go, Nashville. AFC Championship football is coming. 2.05 p.m. Central Time on CBS. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo calling what feels like their fifth Tennessee Titans game of the season. The Titans on a national stage.
Hey, this isn't even the first time they've done a Titans-Chiefs game this year.
You're right. The Titans have been on national TV a lot this season, because you know what? When you have an interesting, fun, and exciting product like this Titans team, it's pretty easy to put them on pretty grand stages, and the Titans have gotten that again in the AFC Championship game, and they have the chance to put this franchise not on the map, because this franchise has made it pretty far in the past. It's just been a while for football fans here in Nashville.
Been a hot minute. Anytime you go through a rebuilding stage, anytime you go through what I will now refer to as a Zach Mettenberger stage, you're going to have some rough patches. It's going to take a ground up approach, and that's what this Titans team's had to do. And like we talked about on Friday, just credit John Robinson, the GM, Amy Adams Trunk, for making the right business decisions, letting John Robinson do his job, not going full Jerry Jones and being the GM herself, or maybe fiddling in football operations when she has enough to deal with being the owner of the team.
The owner of the team and managing, well, a lot of money Bud Adams had.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't care how big the team is. That's a lot of an onus on her shoulders.
It is. It's a huge responsibility, and she doesn't overexert herself by having to deal with a lot of the football stuff. That's why you hire guys like John Robinson to be your GM, is so he can take care of that, and you trust him to take care of that. There's a lot of trust in this organization, and it's come from the top down, and that's how you're able to make a rebuild the way the Titans have. And it all started with the front office and management, and it's taken itself to production on the field, and now you're seeing it come to fruition with the season they're having right now and this run they're currently experiencing.
So, we've talked about these Chiefs wide receivers a lot this show. I said on my defensive keys to the game, where we can't just call up Dean Pease, but the secondary has to have a big game today, obviously. But Tyreek Hill gave them some bulletin board material earlier this week, and it wasn't anything, I think, directed at the Titans specifically, but Tyreek Hill is very confident in his and his teammates' talent.
Well, I feel like nobody in NFL can guard any of us. I mean, and that's no disrespect to nobody. That's just the confidence that I got, I mean, in myself and just the wideouts I got around me, including the tight ends and the running backs. I feel like no DB unit, no secondary unit, no linebacker, or any defense can guard any of us. So man-to-man is just easy for us to beat. And if you just allow us to just run through zones, it's even easier. So
it's even easier, says Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill. Man-to-man, Tyreek, you're right. Like, I think you're all that good, Tyreek Hill. I think you're that good of a football player that this wide receiver core, you can't just man up and lock them down. And they're smart enough, they're good enough, the scheme is good enough. Playing zones, they'll dice you up. That's what's so tough about playing them. But when I look at this Titans secondary this week, you need Adoree Jackson to continue his good play. He had several key pass breakups against the Ravens. Granted, that wasn't Lamar Jackson's best day in terms of zip on the football. But Adoree Jackson is the guy who is closest to being able to run with Tyreek Hill on this Titans roster. And that's where I look today as who needs to have the best game and be locked in from the get-go. The best thing about Adoree Jackson is, you know what, Tyreek Hill is probably going to get you one or two times. That's just the nature of playing a receiver like Tyreek Hill with his speed. But Adoree Jackson seems to never, ever be phased, I feel like. I mean, this guy in the locker room, just even keel, cool. What's up, man? How you doing? I'm just doing my thing. Very chill. Him getting beat doesn't seem to phase him. Him getting a interception doesn't seem to phase him too much. I look to Adoree Jackson first, not being able to stop Tyreek Hill because that is too much of an expectation to put on somebody. It's not fair. But you draft him in the first round, someone has to step up in the secondary at the cornerback position. Logan Ryan, his skill set doesn't necessarily match up with Tyreek Hill's, so I don't think you want him on Tyreek Hill a lot in this game. Adoree Jackson is where my mind goes first today.
Oh, I wouldn't want, really, in an ideal world, either of those guys on Tyreek Hill because they were both on Tyreek Hill in Week 10, and Tyreek Hill ran amok.
Yeah, that's 19 targets, 11 catches, 157 yards.
And that one touchdown he had, I mean, he beat Logan Ryan by a mile. And I don't know if he could have been more open, and that pass could have been made easier by Patrick Mahomes. And the one thing that really sticks out with me about Tyreek Hill talking about no one can stay with us, and man, I think the Titans can if they don't allow Patrick Mahomes to be able to break the pocket and be able to make plays improvising. As for that, and I think that's kind of what he alludes to as well, is you can only stay in front of these guys for a couple seconds.
Because they're so fast.
Because they're all so fast, every single one of them. And unless you just have like a bunch of guys like Adoree Jackson, it's going to be hard to be able to stay in front of them on broken plays. And they kill you in zone too because Travis Kelce is a zone killer. Travis Kelce is a matchup nightmare.
That's why Kevin Byard will probably have to play a fair amount of man today on Travis Kelce. Now, how much does that concern you, given Kevin Byard, by trade, is a free safety? And although Kevin Byard, very good free safety. I mean, we're not like coming here to take anything away from Kevin Byard.
I'd say great.
But the task is tall, and that's where my mind goes second, is after Adoree Jackson, I look at Kevin Byard, and I say, Kevin Byard, you got the contract. You deserve the contract.
Yeah.
All pro-level safety.
This is where
you
earn it.
Now you have to go hold Travis Kelce to something along the lines of 6 catches for 80 yards.
And keep him out of the end zone.
In Week 10, Travis Kelce was 7 for 75, and that, I mean, honestly, against Kelce, that's usually a pretty solid day. Would you like Kevin Byard to hold him to 4 for 50? Sure.
Oh, duh.
And how do you stop Travis Kelce? I don't even know if anybody in the NFL has that answer, but the guy's going to be physical. He runs his routes in a way that nobody else does. As you heard at St. Thomas Sports Park this week, Mike Vrabel and Kevin Byard said he runs his routes, and they don't even look like traditional NFL routes because of the ways he can gain separation on you. So it takes physicality, and I will wager that Kevin Byard will be able to athletically match up with Travis Kelce, but the difference comes in Travis Kelce's size, speed, agility, and his mental link with Patrick Mahomes, that they seem to know where each other will be at any given point in time. I start with Adoree Jackson on Tyreek Hill, and I go to Kevin Byard as basically a 1B on Travis Kelce today.
Yeah, I would say I like the point on Kevin Byard, and I'd probably put that first just because you pay Kevin Byard all the money in the world to play in this spot, to be able to take a tall task, to be out of his comfort zone. You don't pay guys to be the richest free safety in the history of the NFL if you don't expect them to be able to play outside their comfort zone.
And nobody criticized
like
the contract either.
Nor should
because
they.
You know Kevin Byard is this good.
Exactly. You know he's this good. You like this is an investment that is worth it. It's been totally worth it, and it's paid incredible dividends. And it might today if he's able to play outside his comfort zone a little bit and match up with the Travis Kelce. But the guy I'm really looking at too, and this kind of plays with the point earlier of make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable. Harold Landry's going to have to be able to get to him.
Harold Landry's gone quiet the last few weeks as well.
And this is a guy that when this defense was really good at the beginning of the year, when Marcus Mariota was still the quarterback of this team and their rear was getting saved by their defense was keeping them in games they had no business being in, Harold Landry was getting to the quarterback. He was creating pressure and havoc. And I think the only way you can stop a Chiefs passing attack is to be able to get to Patrick Mahomes quick and make them have to cut off routes quick because there's hands in Patrick Mahomes' face. He's uncomfortable. And you're going to have Harold Landry create some pressure, because if he doesn't create pressure and the Chiefs are able to have their receivers run around for 5 or 6 seconds and Mahomes has 6 or 7, you know, to throw and he has all day, they're going to carve up the Titans like a Thanksgiving turkey. And that is a given to me. If they are not able to shorten these plays, then I think they're almost hopeless. And that is where Harold Landry needs to be big, and they need something out of him because he is – this season, the better pass rushers. At times in this season, he was one of the better pass rushers in the AFC. You need that out of Harold Landry. You need beginning season Harold Landry, not the Harold Landry that you said has gone a little quiet.
Well, he got credited with one sack last week against the Baltimore Ravens, but before that, count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games for Landry without a sack. And we've mentioned DeMarcus Robinson a couple times in the show, but I feel like who we haven't mentioned much, Mecole Hardman. Don't forget, Mecole Hardman had that one single catch, his only catch of the day in Week 10, one catch, 63 yards, and a touchdown.
Where he outran everyone. He outran that entire everybody. Secondary.
Again, if you recall that moment in your head, you watch him just break away from everybody in the secondary with his speed. Mecole Hardman, you can't underestimate any one of them. They're all due to break out at some point. And part of the nature of playing the Chiefs is that that's going to happen. And coming up on the other side, how do the Titans counter that, you assume?
And that speed?
That speed and the breakout nature of the Chiefs' offense.
Tackling,
but on the offensive side of the football, usually the conventional wisdom says run the football. We'll get into Derrick Henry. How many carries should he get? How many is too many for Derrick Henry? Coming up at 7:30, we will have someone who is a Kansas City Chiefs writer, Ethan Douglas. Find him on Twitter at Chiefs Analytics. Coming up at 7:30 to preview the Chiefs, what they do well, what makes them so potent. That's all coming up here on The Kickoff on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Daniel's going for the end zone, and he hits! It's the kickoff here on ESPN.
He's born to run.
102.5 The Game. You're certainly hoping you hear Tannehill goes for the end zone and some excited broadcasters today if you're a Tennessee Titans football fan. I'm Calvin Smith alongside Elijah Campbell. You can find me on Twitter at SmithAcalvin. You can find my good friend Elijah on Twitter at E_Campbell3. And there's no better way to lead this segment off, a segment where we will be discussing number 22, El Tractorcito, Derrick Henry.
That's some
column. Frank Clark, Chiefs defensive end, who did not play in the Week 10 matchup when these two teams met at Nissan Stadium, said this week about Derrick Henry. I got to clear my throat for this one because it's a doozy of a quote.
It's a hot take. I'm rolling my sleeves up before I start sweating.
I mean, it's a fireball hot take Friday in these studios. He's not hard to hit, quote. He's just a big guy. 240, 245, 250. Honestly, he should be running harder at his weight and at his size. I don't see no difficulty in tackling him. He's just easy to me up front because I don't look at any running back like they can't be tackled. He's not one of the best guys at breaking tackles to me, honestly. End quote, Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark on Derrick Henry. Wow. I mean, this man just brought the fire into the studios.
There is only one true thing he said.
One.
He's a big guy.
He's a big guy. And you know what? I'll give him a pass on the sentence where he said, or the part of the sentence where he said, I don't look at any running back like they can't be tackled. Sure, have that mentality.
It's your job. It's your job to have that mentality, dude. Yeah, but don't lie to my face.
He's not one of the best guys at breaking tackles to me, honestly. Derrick Henry leads the playoffs in yards after contact, and I believe was the NFL leader this season in yards after contact.
Leads the world in yards after contact. Even just like walking down the street with someone, if there's contact, you are not getting more yards than Derrick Henry would on a football field.
And I am very surprised by this quote from Frank Clark, because why do you say that? What does your team have to gain from this? Now, granted, I also see the point of, if you're Derrick Henry and you're not motivated going into this game, then what are you doing? Without extra, quote, extra ammunition from Frank Clark. Like, if you're not already going to be giving 100% of your efforts, then what are you doing? But still, to say this from Frank Clark in the manner in which he did, which is something that's factually incorrect, Derrick Henry, like, is a very difficult running back to tackle, and he does run very hard. That's the nature of his entire game, is he's not like scatty, like a scat back or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That said, how much is too much for Derrick Henry in this game facing a Chiefs offense who can put up points, or are we to the point where too much Derrick Henry doesn't exist for you, Elijah Campbell?
I think the only scenario in which too much Derrick Henry just straight up doesn't exist is if they are holding on to a lead and they are able to run the ball and play to their strengths. I mean, honestly, that is the only time that where the attempt number doesn't matter, unless you're just not giving him the ball. You're not playing to your strengths and you're going three and out. Ryan Tannehill isn't playing very efficient football or throwing the ball as efficiently as he has all year long. I mean, but there's also a time too where if the Chiefs get up a touchdown or two, and you're down 14-0.
You can't be surprised if they do.
Exactly, because they do it all the time. And I've said it once on these airways, I've said it 1,000 times. They scored 51 points in 3 weeks. I know the Texans' defense isn't anywhere near the Titans.
Three quarters.
Wow. What did I say, 3 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
That would not be impressive.
That would not be impressive at all. But if you're able to do it in three quarters, it is mind-numbing. They scored 51 points in three quarters. I know the Texans' defense is nowhere near the Titans, but come on. They have the ability to score points in bunches against anybody. And so the possibility of them going down multiple touchdowns is rather high. I don't care who they're playing.
Yes.
So you're going to have to be able to make up for that. And the nature of football is running the football all the time, 40 times a game, is hard to do when you're down. That's why the Chiefs' rushing defense, in terms of yards per game, is a better number than a lot of teams in the league, because teams are forced to abandon the running game when they get down a couple touchdowns. If you're down two touchdowns early, 30 times is probably too much for Derrick Henry. That number goes down substantially the more you get down early. If you do not get off to a hot start, you're not able to establish your pace of play in your tempo that you want to, making that number for Derrick Henry maybe dip below 25, which is something that we have not been able to fathom in this market the last several games
That
Derrick Henry's played, because he's gone over 30 for the last three times he's been in a Titans uniform.
You're exactly right from the standpoint that Derrick Henry's carries right now completely depend on the game script of how Patrick Mahomes is going. Granted, that said, Arthur Smith is still going to give Derrick Henry his. I can't imagine a scenario where the Titans are not running the ball 20, 25, maybe even 30 times if everything's breaking right. If the Titans run the ball 30 times, that means that the defense is playing well enough for the Titans to be able to run the ball 30 times, and they're probably going to win the football game.
Nashville riots if he doesn't carry the ball more than 25 times and the game's close.
They don't win just because they ran the ball 30 times or hit a magic 100 number of rushing yards, but because that means the game script is sticking to a perfect point for the Tennessee Titans offense and defense and special teams efforts. And when you talk about too much Derrick Henry, I think for a lot of people, that number doesn't exist because of how radically efficient he is. And then all it takes is to look over to the other side, and how panicked is Arthur Smith going to get if things go a little awry early, or if late in the game the Chiefs are making a surge on you. Like, even if things go according to plan for the Titans and they are up late in the third quarter by a pair of touchdowns or something like that, but you know the Chiefs can score in bunches and score very, very quickly. Do you keep running the football and try to whittle away at that clock, even if you're having a good day running, but Henry hasn't broken off the 70-yard run this game? Do you keep doing it, or do you go into your bag of tricks a little bit and say, hey, we got to put this game out of reach. We need this other touchdown. Ryan Tannehill, throw the football right here. I think the Chiefs are never out of range, and you've always got to be prepared in this game to take risks unless you're a good bit into the fourth quarter and you're fully prepared to run out that clock, because the Chiefs are never gone. Derrick Henry will get his carries. You fully expect him to be capable of doing a lot for this Titans team, but that doesn't take away from the fact that risk still needs to be in the portfolio for the Titans this week with Ryan Tannehill. It doesn't have to look like 50 attempts like what you'll probably see from Patrick Mahomes, but Ryan Tannehill in this game is going to be every bit as important as Derrick Henry in my mind, because without efficiency in the pass game, it's incredibly difficult to beat this team. You saw it in Week 10 on the final drive. It came down to that when there was almost no time left. Ryan Tannehill led the game-winning drive. Can he do it again? He's been the difference for this team this year.
Yeah.
Can he be the difference this week to the point where he's not only not losing you the game, but he gives you the opportunity to push you over the edge and put the nail in the coffin on the Kansas City Chiefs if need be, or early in the game, hit on the big-time throws to propel you to a lead that you can hold for the whole game?
He's going to have to. I mean, I think it's going to come down to that, where it's not like an if he can, it's going to be a have to. There's almost no choice because the game's close late, and you're going to have to get a final drive. Obviously, you can't conduct a final drive if it's 70-plus yards or more by just running the ball the entire time if you're limited on time. When you asked the question earlier, now I like this question too, and it kind of resorts to the conundrum of possibly having to abandon the run game. One of my favorite quotes, it's also one of my least favorite quotes of all time. It's
the duality of that is amazing.
It is. It's incredible. Yeah, how one could be one of my favorite quotes, but also one of my least favorite quotes, too. It's Mike Tyson's, like, everyone's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. Well, if you don't have a plan for getting hit in the mouth, then you didn't have a plan to begin with. So if the Titans do get down a little bit and they get hit in the mouth, so to speak, Arthur Smith needs to have a plan already. He needs to be able to dig into his plan B bag of tricks to be able to prepare for that. Or else you're not a good offense coordinator. You're not a good game planner if it doesn't happen that way.
And he has been this season.
And that's the thing. He has been. I'm putting as much responsibility on Arthur Smith as I am Ryan Tannehill, because Arthur Smith knows what Ryan Tannehill can do and what he can't do. Great coaches know what your quarterbacks or your players can and can't do, what their realm of possibilities are, what their abilities are, even. What they can and can't do. And if they get hit in the mouth and the offensive game plan isn't exactly what you planned for, you've got to be able to kind of do what we alluded to earlier. Give the ball to A.J. Brown in non-conventional ways, or just give him the ball in general and let him get some yards after catch and after contact too, because he can also break tackles. He's also a hard man to take down. Be able to give the ball to Jonnu Smith or find Anthony Firkser. Be able to utilize some of your other options if things do start to go awry. If they get hit in the mouth in this game and the Titans don't have a plan B, then they're in trouble.
Arthur Smith deserves kudos for how he's called games this season. Now, do I disagree in some aspects? Of course, I'm going to disagree in some respects. But how he's molded this offense to this talent is impressive. And if he can put up another season close to what he's done here with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback, this guy might not be in Nashville for too long. He may get a head coaching job. Not a gob. Wow.
A gob.
Arrested Development.
That's actually really good. Yeah, that was a very underlying Arrested Development reference that we've not gotten to make on this show yet, or not any Arrested Development reference, but we got to do it now. So,
coming up next, we will talk to Ethan Douglas at Chiefs Analytics on Twitter, writer for ArrowheadPride.com. In my opinion, one of the best people to talk to about the Kansas City Chiefs. We will get his perspective on the team out there in Kansas City in the frigid cold. We will talk to Ethan coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to The Kickoff here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith. He's Elijah Campbell to my right. On ESPN 102.5 The Game, we're previewing Titans Chiefs all day long for you on these very airwaves and streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. And now we have the pleasure of bringing in Ethan Douglas, writer for ArrowheadPride.com. You can find him on Twitter at Chiefs Analytics. And Ethan, we were able to touch base with you before the Week 10 matchup. How have you been? How have the Chiefs been since that point?
Yeah, so that was arguably one of the lowest points of the Chiefs season. Had a lot of fans upset after that loss. I know I was upset, and I certainly didn't predict it. But since then, things have been going really well. Almost the whole team's healthy. We have defensive lineman Chris Jones potentially out for this game. We won't find out until this afternoon. But almost the whole team's healthy. The offensive line is back and playing well. Saw what happened last week. Patrick Mahomes is playing lights out. Chiefs have been pretty great.
The first thing I have to ask you about is, I saw this on Twitter this week that I know you'll enjoy so much, that the Chiefs are 9-0 when allowing less than 110 rushing yards, and the Titans are 13-0 this season when rushing for over 100 yards. And I know that when you think along the line of thought that analytics goes towards, that this can be easily manipulable, and I would like for you to kind of debunk what's going on behind the scenes on this thing about the Chiefs being 9-0 when allowing so few rushing yards.
Yeah, so I've definitely seen that all over Twitter this week as well. And the thing people have to realize when they look at box scores and they look at stats after the game is that just because something happens doesn't mean it caused the game to be the win or the loss. So when a team is winning, they're going to run the ball. And so what you often see is the team that wins has more rushing yards. That doesn't mean the team should rush more and that rushing more leads to the win, but rather that once they're winning, they're more likely to run out the clock and get those rushing attempts. And vice versa, if you're a defense and you've given up 30 rushing attempts and therefore over 100 yards most likely, it's probably because the team was running out the clock and they were already winning. So what we can do is look at things like runs before the half or runs when the team was a certain percent likely to win, and then we can actually see how much running helped the game.
And then I saw an article in The Athletic that was talked about on these very airwaves here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Not by this show, but was in a way mocked a little bit. And it was, the headline was, Titans' Derrick Henry is less of a factor in beating the Chiefs than most realize. It was by Joshua Briscoe. And I would like for you to kind of walk through the scenario of, how is Derrick Henry not the most important factor in your mind coming from a Chiefs perspective today, because he's been the catalyzing factor for this offense here in Nashville?
Yeah, I think one thing everyone needs to understand when they hear arguments like that is it's not ever a knock on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is an absolute beast. I certainly wouldn't want to tackle him. I know a lot of professional NFL athletes don't want to tackle him. That said, if you look at the Pro Football Focus grades from the Titans game last week, and you know, Pro Football Focus isn't perfect, but three of their top five rated players were offensive linemen. The week before, four of their top five players were offensive linemen. And so when you've got an offensive line that's giving you sometimes a 5 yard, 5 yards of space before you're getting first contact, and you can get up to full speed, and you weigh 250, 240 pounds, and you're an absolute stud running back, it's going to be really hard to tackle. And so I think the offensive line, I mean, Pruitt, the tight end, is also an amazing run blocker. I think that is a lot more impactful to the run game itself. And then Ryan Tannehill has been absolutely carving things up with play action this year. And while that relies on the run game, I think if you replace Derrick Henry with a backup running back, I still think you see the same commitment to the run by Tennessee to set up the play action, whether that's necessary or not. And then I'd personally think that the Chiefs should let Derrick Henry get 150 yards this game. and stop Ryan Tannehill from long play action over the top passing plays, and we'll be just fine.
Ethan Douglas here from at Chiefs Analytics on Twitter, an Arrowhead Pride contributor. Ethan, in this mark, we've talked a lot about feeding Derrick Henry, and me and Calvin on these airways have talked a lot about how crazy it is that the Titans have been able to win with running the ball this many times and how much of an outlier that Derrick Henry has been. So I want to ask you, for someone who is obviously very much so into this as well, how big of an outlier is this? And are we going to see anything like this run from a running back? I mean, to propel a team like the Titans, who are a six seed, into an almost improbable AFC championship appearance?
You know, I do think it's a perfect storm of things. I think the offensive line is playing absolutely amazing, and they're great players. I think Derrick Henry is incredibly hard to tackle when he gets space. I think Ryan Tannehill has been very accurate, and he's done what he's been asked to do. He has one of the highest completion percentage over expectations, so basically completion percentage, but adjusted for the depth of the passes in the league this year. And so I think, you know, for a running game to really propel a team, you're going to need all of those things to work. When you pass, it's got to be good passes. You got to convert those third and longs. When you run, you got to give your running back space to the offensive line. And so, you know, I really am not sure we'll see this replicated. I'm not sure we'll see it even replicated today. Full disclosure, I hope we don't. but no, I think this is a pretty unique situation that's pretty hard to capture.
So now let's get it going on the Chiefs, because that's what you know the most about, Ethan. And when you look at this team, I mean, they're the exact opposite of the Tennessee Titans. And Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense are what propel this team. How are they able to do this at such an incredibly high rate and at such an efficient rate beyond just Patrick Mahomes being the insane athlete that he is?
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is an insane athlete, is an amazing quarterback. But when we had Matt Moore, our backup quarterback, in there for 2 weeks, we almost beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and we did beat Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. So I think a lot of credit, and certainly he gets credit, needs to go to Andy Reid and how he's designed this offense, and Eric Bieniemy, our offensive coordinator. I mean, when you've got Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all really fast, athletic guys, you have DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, a rookie we drafted this year in the second round. I mean, we've got an insanely fast offense, and he puts them into space so well, finds openings, whether against man or zone, and it's just really hard to guard. And I think that's really it. You get amazing athletes, you put them into space, and you got a quarterback that can make plays. And lately, since Eric Fisher's been back, and Eric Fisher's our left tackle who was out against the Titans in Week 10, Patrick Mahomes has had time to throw as well. And so he's got time to throw. You've got guys that are hard to cover. It's just a recipe for success.
What about some inefficiencies or deficiencies of this offense? Does this Chiefs team ever take their foot off the gas if they get a lead, or not be aggressive in the most opportune moments when they should be trying to put a game away, which they might find themselves in that position this week, and the Titans have been able to pull off some crazy comebacks?
Yeah, that's certainly been one of the critiques of the Andy Reid-led Chiefs really over the past 5 years, that when they get maybe a 7-14 score lead in just the beginning of the third quarter, he starts to run the ball more screen passes, more quote-unquote safe plays. And so what happened against the Texans, you go down 24-0, that all goes out the window, and you keep your pedal on the gas. And, you know, I think the Chiefs need to play as if they're down 24-0 coming out this game. They need to drop the same kind of play. I think they need home runs because Patrick Mahomes doesn't turn the ball over. He's had like one lost fumble this season, 4 or 5 interceptions. So it really is just as safe for us to be throwing the ball deep as running the ball. We have more fumbles than interceptions. So I think we need to keep the foot on the gas and pretend the Chiefs are down 24-0 to start the game.
Ethan, one of my favorite things about sports analytics is they tell a different story than what our eyes tell us. And for this Chiefs team, obviously, this is the most aesthetically pleasing team to watch in terms of style. But there's got to be some unsung heroes that the numbers tell us a different story than what our eyes might. And in Moneyball, the 2003 Oakland A's, it was the Scott Hatterberg effect. Who is this Chiefs team, Scott Hatterberg?
Yeah, so this one's pretty controversial, even within the analytics community. But Sammy Watkins, if you look at the efficiency splits in the Chiefs offense, when Sammy Watkins is on the field versus off the field, the Chiefs have been insanely more effective when he's on the field running a route. And so I haven't watched enough film and rewatched the All-22 enough to see if they're running different kind of routes when he's on the field, if they're defenses are really devoting a lot of resources to covering him. But Sammy Watkins himself hasn't actually been that good. He had one amazing breakout game in week one, but other than that, has just had a few catches here and there. And so that's been kind of surprising, but it seems to be real that when he's on the field, they play a lot better.
Why might that be? If you could hypothesize, I guess, why that might be that receiver, even though he might not be tearing it up the same way a Tyreek Hill does or a Mecole Hardman does, is able to have that kind of effect on an offense analytically.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, part of the problem with football analytics is you never know the intent, so you never know the actual play call and what Coach Reed is, or Eric Bieniemy is drawing up, and so it's very possible that they only run certain routes or they only run certain concepts with Sammy Watkins on the field. For some reason, you might trust Sammy Watkins to do more. I do know that Sammy Watkins is amazing with the ball in his hands, so yards after the catch. He's one of the top receivers in the league on a per-catch basis in terms of yards after the catch. And so it's possible that defenses are scared to give him space. Yeah, something like that. But, you know, I'm not really sure on that one.
So before we let you go, Ethan, you mentioned Chris Jones at the top of this segment that he might be out. He's a very impactful defensive lineman. How large is the effect of losing one of your better run stoppers on the defensive line when facing a very good rush offense like the Tennessee Titans? Because it's interesting because I know you said you would want to let Derrick Henry rush for the 150.
Yeah. So Chris Jones, a lot of fans and a lot of really everyone assumes he's kind of more of a run stopper and a big guy in the interior line. But he's actually a far better pass rusher than run stopper. His, again, Pro Football Focus grades, which aren't at all the end-all be-all, but he's got much higher pass rush grade than run stuff grade. And then even ESPN's new stat they call pass rush win rate, which is essentially how fast the lineman can get a win against their opponent in under 2.5 seconds. Chris Jones is one of the highest in the league while being double-teamed at one of the highest rates in the league. So I think it matters a lot more in the passing game. I think if the Titans get down and the Chiefs have a lead, we're going to really miss that. Chris Jones can't pin his ears back and rush the quarterback. In the run, we've got some other guys like Mike Pennell, who's a just big, stocky interior defensive tackle who can really handle his own in the run game. And so, you know, honestly, in the run game, losing Chris Jones isn't as big of a deal as most people think.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ethan, for joining us here on the kickoff. If the Titans and Chiefs ever play again, even though it won't happen this season, we'll have to get you on. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Good luck this afternoon.
Thank you. That was Ethan Douglas of ArrowheadPride.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Chiefs Analytics. He's a great follow. And coming up after the commercial break here on the kickoff, we'll predict this game. We'll tell you exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to play out for your Tennessee Titans. We'll get to that coming up here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do you smell it? That smell. The kind of smelly smell. The smelly smell that smells. Smelly.
Do you smell it, Mr. Krabs? Titans football is on the way, 2.05 p.m. Central Time kickoff on CBS. Jim Nance and Tony Romo on the call. I smell the smelly smell in the water. Football season at the highest level, 60 minutes to the Super Bowl, is here in Nashville.
I'm just glad that smelly smell wasn't me. I thought you were getting ready to out me on the radio in front of God and all creation. But it's not me. It is the smell of a Super Bowl berth.
On the line. Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell here with you. We've been here since 6 a.m. rocking and rolling with you. Thanks again to Ethan Douglas of Arrowhead Pride.
That was really good.
.com at Chiefs Analytics on Twitter. A different perspective because we want to provide you with that to prepare you in every way possible for today's pivotal Tennessee Titans game. And we'll have you covered all day today on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And not just from the wholesaling studios powered by RumbleOn.com. We have reporters in the field in Kansas City live. And that's where we'll go at 8 o'clock to Chase and TD, a special Sunday edition of the show from Kansas City. After them, Jared and the GM. You know Jared will be taking your phone calls. He wants to talk Titans all day long. And then our official NFL pregame show after that, leading you all the way up to kickoff. We got you covered here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming all around the world on The Game Nashville app. Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell here with you for about the next 8 or 9 minutes before we pass you off. And it's time for us to tell you exactly what we smell. Elijah, are you smelling a Tennessee Titans win this Sunday to go to the Super Bowl?
I do not.
Ooh,
I don't. But the possibility is definitely there. There's no reason not to believe, given everything we've seen this postseason run, given that they have dethroned the champs at Gillette Stadium. They have knocked off the NFL MVP in Lamar Jackson on the road in Baltimore pretty convincingly and in a really wacky kind of way. I just don't think you can catch lightning in a bottle twice against the Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about all the things that had to go right for the Titans to win when they met here in Nashville in Week 10. There was a lot of that stuff that's going to have to happen today. I think the Titans are going to be able to hang with them for a little bit.
Oh, no doubt. I fully expect them to hang with them to the end.
Yeah, and we gave our bold predictions on Friday on what might happen that might shock people. And I said that Derrick Henry rushes for over 155, 160 yards, probably gets to the 180 range, and they still lose. I still think that is an incredible possibility just because he's able. Like, Derrick Henry's on a tear right now that is almost unimaginable, especially with the workload he's gotten. And I just don't think it will matter.
At the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes is what you're saying. Not that mm-hmm. Derrick Henry doesn't matter,
yes,
but that Patrick Mahomes...
Thank you for helping me clarify that.
Yeah, because I know what you're mm-hmm. trying to get at.
Yeah.
It's that Patrick Mahomes, you think, will take over today.
Exactly. I think the same way some defenders get worn down by trying to tackle Derrick Henry, this Titan secondary is going to be gassed chasing down these Chiefs receivers. As I said, Harold Landry has to be big today. He's got to be a big pass rusher. He's got to be able to knock Mahomes off of his rhythm. He's got to be able to.
And he can be if he's the guy from the first part of the season.
He easily can. And if you get that and you're able to maintain.
You might be going to the Super Bowl.
You are probably going to the Super Bowl. It would almost be more likely than not that you are going to the Super Bowl. However, I think Patrick Mahomes is able to break out of the pocket, improvise, make some throws on the run, give Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and maybe the X factor, as what Ethan alluded to earlier, Sammy Watkins being on the field. Maybe he could be an X factor for this Chiefs team, too. There's just too many weapons that I don't think this Titans secondary will be able to handle if Patrick Mahomes has too much time to throw. I think he'll get that time today. The Chiefs aren't going to run the ball. The run defense won't matter the same way it did last week. So the importance of Jarrell Casey and Jonathan Simmons will still be big. It's a team effort, but not as big as it was last week, which I think is probably the strength of this Titans defense. I just don't see a scenario in which they beat the Chiefs if the Chiefs are able to play their style of football.
And that's what you're betting on.
And I'm betting on that, and I'm betting on it being 38-28.
Man, Elijah, when I tell you all week long.
How many times have you changed your opinion on this?
I mean, no, when I tell you what I'm about to give you my prediction, I'm about to tell you I am 51-49 on this, and all
Woo!
Week I've been thinking, can the Titans actually do this? And yes, I believe that this team can go win. I mean, you bet on teams who are playing as well as they are right now, and that there are ebbs and flows to a football season of where your football is at its best, where your team is clicking, where your offensive line is playing amazing football. They're brutally destroying the front seven of opposing teams, and that's what this Titans offensive line is doing right now. That's the greatest factor to what's going on in their offense right now. Then add in the fact that Ryan Tannehill's hyper-efficient. Then add in the fact that Derrick Henry is the most difficult running back to tackle in the NFL at the second level and beyond. But that said, I have to come back and lean on what I know when I'm 50-50. And what I know is the underlying fundamentals of the Chiefs offense are what I believe in. That's why I'm 51-49 on the Chiefs winning something like 30-27. Close game. Comes down to a field goal. I don't know if it comes down to a last-second tying field goal from Greg Joseph or whatever, but I think this game's going to be close because the Titans will find a way to keep it close. The defense is good enough to be able to hold the Chiefs in that point range, but it's still a good enough day for the Chiefs for Patrick Mahomes to get his. Derrick Henry is still going to hit some home runs. I think they're going to run the football. They're going to run the football well, and Derrick Henry's going to have a good day. And then it's just going to come to, can Ryan Tannehill make up the margin? I heard it yesterday on Jared and GM. Floyd Reese said that that what they need from Ryan Tannehill is to make up whatever way Derrick Henry can't catch Patrick Mahomes. I mean, if Derrick Henry outrushes what Patrick Mahomes throws for, then shoot, game over. I mean,
no way you don't win at that point. Yeah.
Sadly, that almost, I would actually wager it. I don't know off the top of my head, but if that happens, that's in an incredibly low probability that it just can't. If that happens, then wow. But it's not. So that's okay.
It's divine intervention if that happens.
Because Patrick Mahomes having that bad of a day, barring any injuries or anything like that, is just, I mean, he's going to put up his totals no matter what. I believe in the fundamentals of the Chiefs offense: speed, efficiency, scoring in a hurry, being able to knock the Titans off their game plan just enough. I don't think the Chiefs go out there and dominate the Titans. I think it's close to the end. The Chiefs play well enough to knock the Titans off their game, but that does not mean Derrick Henry has a bad game. That does not mean Ryan Tannehill has a bad game. I just think that the Chiefs do enough to get the victory over the Titans. It's a close one. It's a classic. Does Ryan Tannehill have to throw a touchdown pass to himself? Does Derrick Henry have to break off 250-yard touchdowns? It takes plays like that. It takes Rashawn Evans taking a fumble to the house. It takes Josh Kalu blocking a kick. It takes Harrison Butker missing a kick. Those are the kind of things that have to happen and have happened for the Titans this season. You said catch lightning in a bottle. The Titans have done a lot of that this season. I would bet on them to be able to do it again, but the fundamentals of the Chiefs are too strong in my mind. 30-27, but do not be surprised if this Titans team has something magical in them where they have kept it even keel all week. They haven't talked that trash like Frank Clark has or something like that. They've stayed the course. They're true to themselves. It just depends on Patrick Mahomes in the largest way in this game. The Titans defense can dictate a lot of this game as well if they're able to slow down Patrick Mahomes. But how much do you have to slow him down is the question. I just don't know if they can do that enough.
Yeah, and that's going to be what it comes down to. Is you're not going to stop this Chiefs offense, but can you do it enough to keep yourself in it to where you can have a little bit of magic happen, to where the game can come down to jumping the snap count and blocking the kick.
And that's where the Titans have been at their best this season.
Yeah, and it can come down to something happen, like something going wrong for the Chiefs that is very much so within the realm of possibility. Or maybe it's tricking Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be hard to do it, but tricking Patrick Mahomes where he makes a throw, it goes off a tight end's hands, of Travis Kelce's hands, and Kevin Byard's in the right place at the right time.
Which he usually is.
That is what needs to happen for the Titans if they want to win. You got to be able to turn this offense over. You got to be able to get off the field on third downs. You're going to have to make them uncomfortable to the point where they mess up. You got to get them out of their game.
And like you said, that comes down to the pass rush.
Yeah, definitely comes down to the pass rush.
And that's all we have time for on the kickoff. We started at 6 a.m. We got you to 8 o'clock. Now we're passing you off to Chase and TD. Chase McCabe of Darren Donick and Chase, an ESPN NFL Nation reporter, Teron Davenport. They got you covered until 10. Then Jared and the GM take over for Jared and the GM and NFL pregame here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We hope we have something to talk about with you next week with a Super Bowl on the line. Until then, I'm Calvin Smith. He's Elijah Campbell. We will talk to you later.
We out.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, winning isn't everything. Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.